Welcome once again to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Reba Haas of Team Reba, RE/MAX Metro East Side.
And Eric Oz is here from Homebridge Financial Home Mortgage.
Happy Saturday, mister.
I know. Here we are, summertime in the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, summertime.
That's good. Wow, didn't know you could sing.
Baloney, you did too. You know I performed for 15 years.
I do.
But you know what? Actually, if I can just give a... This is just me doing a quick memorial since you brought up music. My longtime good friend Pete Martin passed away recently, and he was my bass player in two of my bands. And he was a Vietnam vet and just a really awesome, great guy. And I just do want to shout out for him. We're going to be doing a military honor service for him at Tahoma. In September.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know he would be so, so very proud of that. His wife was very pleased to hear that will be happening. Yeah. So
it's a beautiful place.
It is a beautiful place. I've been to some services there before, and now we'll get to honor my good, good friend Pete.
Excellent.
And I say that because Pete was like a second dad for me when we were playing together. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get choked up. I'm going to try not... But he just always made everyone around him better.
Yeah.
Like personally and professionally. Like he was a great technology person also, but his real passion was music, and he played his entire life. Mm. And one of the things that was interesting, we actually sang to him. Some of us were invited to their home as things were progressing for him. Mm-hmm. And we actually got to spend hours singing to him and playing music.
Wonderful.
It's one of the most beautiful things I've ever been part of.
Holy cow.
It was very emotional, but very beautiful. And
it choked me up here. Yeah.
Singing really with his family. It was incredible. So, I just want to always honor people that I care about. And he was somebody that I did, and he made a tremendous mark on a lot of the people that he worked with here. His children that were raised here, as well as the music community, because everyone who worked with him had the same thing to say about how he just made you better.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And it was all about setting high expectations.
Oh, that's really cool.
It was really incredible.
Wow.
So anyway, so Pete, we love you. We're going to miss you.
All right.
But
get that band going up there.
Yes, that's actually the big joke, because we're like, he's going to go make the band in heaven better. He's going to be like, come on, people, come on, let's work on that rhythm. Let's work on that rhythm. Get your timing. You need a metronome.
That's right.
No messing around here.
That's right. Hey, on other things before we jump into mortgage.
Yes.
Here, we've had on in the past, we had Casey McLean with SR3, which is wildlife rescue on. And I get messages from Casey all the time. In fact, right now they're actually trying to raise some money to send a seal pup to school. So they need fish. And a school of fish, not education school.
Okay. I was curious.
So $10 will provide all the fish a little pup needs, you know, for one day of fish school.
Aww.
And so if anybody's interested, look up SR3. They're located down in the Des Moines Marina, but you can see them online. They're always looking for volunteers as well.
SR3.org.
Yep. And if you happen to be walking on the beach, we've said this one before on the show, and you see a little seal pup sitting on the beach all by themselves.
Don't touch
it. Leave them alone. They're fine. Yes. Mama's out hunting, going to get some food. It's not uncommon for a pup to be left on the beach for hours, you know, while mom's out there hunting.
Yes.
If you touch that seal, or if you pick that seal up, you've just made them an orphan because they're abandoned at that point.
It's
mom
like
will
bunnies.
Not pick them up. Same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And don't touch bunnies that are in their nests or out and about. Like,
that's
just
right.
Don't do it. Don't
so
do
pretty
it.
Much all the seals that SR3 takes in are ones that have been picked up by a thoughtful human who thinks they're doing the right thing, and they're doing the absolute worst thing you could do, you know, for that animal. So just leave them alone.
But in lieu of that, for this pup who is in need of fish, You can do a nice thing.
That's right.
An easy nice thing.
Super easy.
For $10. That's pretty much what you spend at Starbucks just once.
That's right. Absolutely.
Right?
So yeah, do it. You know, just give so SR3.org. Mm-hmm. Casey McLean there, like I mentioned, they're always looking for volunteers as well. If you want to go help mix up fish milkshakes, you could do that.
Ooh, I was thinking about lunch, but now I'm not. Oh my gosh.
Well, the seals like it.
I'm sure the seals love it. It just...
By the way, I was anchored the other day. I was out in the boat, anchored, and I was barbecuing, and a seal came up, and he was my buddy. He hung around for probably an hour.
Because he was waiting for a snack.
We threw a little fish out there, and so he got his snack and was just kind of checking us out. But I've never had one hang like 3 feet from the boat, just kind of looking at us like, what you doing? Just like a dog.
Got some extras? Got some extras? Smells really good. Smells really good. I'm just waiting for an invite up on the boat. Looks very comfy up there.
Fun stuff. Life in the Northwest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love that kind of stuff. In fact, actually, a former high school friend of mine is out here for one of the Alaska cruises, and he's been posting a bunch of pictures that they've been able to see orcas and seals, and they saw like a... when they got up to Alaska, they saw, calving off of one of the glaciers and, stuff like that out through the water. So they've been very much enjoying for the first time what you and I have. We've never taken for granted, but we've just enjoyed for decades. Yes. And I'm just like, welcome to our wonderful land. You know, absolutely. I'm glad you're getting a chance to see it and help take care of it. Yep.
And last thing too, I know we have a lot of new boaters out there. Mm-hmm. Take the boater education class, please.
You're supposed to. You're required by law.
You're required. But also if you're out in the salt water, keep your eyes up, be looking around, be trying to understand what's going on around you. There's been a few cases recently where there's a pod of orcas that are active.
Yeah.
Boats will stop. It's the law. You cannot be within 2,000 yards of those animals. Turn off your depth sounders because that interferes with their ability to echolocate. But there's been situations where boaters just go ripping right through a pod. You know, even though there's boats around honking their horns, waving their arms, like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. But these people are so oblivious or just not understanding what's going on around them that they just, ignore all the signs.
Yeah. Well,
so be careful out there. Yeah, pay attention.
It's not even just with our habitat and issues around that. I was actually anchored out in Andrews Bay recently. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of new boaters still. That is a no-wake zone, and you're also supposed to be mindful of your sound. Mm-hmm. For any of you who have forgotten, during COVID, they nearly took away the right for people to anchor in Andrews Bay because it got really rowdy. There were so many other new boaters who didn't really kind of know the rules, and we still have that. Boats are, and personal watercraft are still selling pretty strongly despite what's been going on with inflation and whatnot.
Oh yeah.
So there are people out being less than polite to not just their neighboring boaters, but also the people who live in those areas.
Yes.
I mean, it is surrounded by a park that also has eagles and ducks and other critters that are, live and inhabit that park actually. And then the people who are nearby. In fact, the person I was with, when he saw some of the stuff that was going on, was like, I would never buy one of those houses over there.
Right.
And I went, I mean, I said,
yeah,
here's the thing.
Life on the water,
and I do appreciate those boaters who, during that time that it came up, a lot of the boating community did step up and say, "Hey, like those of us who know the we'll help monitor and police it because we do know that the budgets for the police department and Coast Guard have been cut, and so they don't have as much coverage, and so we need the safety." We need people looking out for each other. So absolutely, I'm with you on that point.
Right. Yep.
It's safe. Part of what makes this a good place to be is, having people look out, having people follow, the rules around those kinds of things so that we get to maintain this great quality of life
we enjoy. It's not just no wake. It's to protect the swimmers that are out there.
Yeah. You've got people on paddle boards. You've got we've got dogs on the front. I mean, that's the thing that concerns me is you've got kids and small animals sometimes on the front of some of these, like, you know, skiffs or, you know, dinghies, yeah. and you have someone hit them with a wake. If they get launched out into the water on a running boat,
that's not good.
It's dangerous.
Well, they shouldn't be up there in the first place. Yeah.
Well, but I mean, I got to tell you, I mean, you know, Rusty, even Rusty's a big dog and he can easily jump into the water for something.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
you know, you just don't know. I mean, we had someone hit us with a wake a couple of summers ago while it was the morning and I was making coffee and I had like a small propane, you know, stove mm-hmm. out, and someone hit us with a wake and it knocked that propane stove down into the inside of my boat.
Yikes.
Scared the bejesus out of me because my dog was laying right there. Could have burned my dog, could have caught my boat on fire. You got to think there's potentially consequences outside of just yourself.
That's right. And you are responsible for your own wake.
You are. That actually is a legal reality here. So anyway, we're going off on a lot of other subjects. So let's save the seals, save everybody else's, you know, strain, save the orcas. But one of the things we're going to be talking about today, let's get to the real estate side of the things.
Yes.
Right? So we're trying to figure out, like, do we need to save the builders?
Are they underwater?
Well, that's the big question, right? Like, are they at risk of going away? Because you and I both have had a very, it's not really a phenomenon. It's just, it's something that has returned,
mm-hmm.
which is builders very proactively promoting their projects.
Oh, for sure. And I haven't seen this in years and years and years. And all of a
long
sudden,
time.
My mailbox and my email is filling up with marketing material from builders.
Same.
So what's going on with that?
So just like we've talked about in past shows, and we're going to talk about later in this show, inventory having gone up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So interest rates, all of that impacts it. But, well, we're going to have to go into a break. So clearly we're going to have to get into all the details of this when we get back after
right.
these messages.
Right. But what's going on with the builders?
Yes. Is there a risk of a bubble? We'll hash it out.
Okay. We will. bubble or no bubble. Stay tuned and find out. We're back. More Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Ozzins here from Homebridge Financial Home Mortgage.
And that's right. We're back. And this is Reba Hess from Team Reba.
Talking builders.
Yes. And whether or not, like, are they in the midst of a bubble?
Well, there's some stats that just recently came out for the month of June.
And Bram.
Builder sentiment, which is an indicator of what they're mm-hmm. feeling, you know, about the market, is dropping.
It.
It's at 51%, just barely above, barely in the positive territory. You get to 50 or lower, and it means they're looking very, very pessimistic about things. We're only at 51%. In June, housing starts for single-family homes down 8%. That's a big drop. And permits, new permits issued for single-family homes, also down 8%.
Okay.
So builders are feeling the pinch right now from inflation, from the cost of their materials, higher interest rates. All of those things are really impacting a builder. And so they're thinking twice about, you know, bringing stuff up out of the ground, of course, unless they have a sale on it. What?
Bringing stuff up out of the ground. Sorry, it's just a funny phrase. That's all I'm reacting to. It's just a funny phrase.
A little builder lingo there.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, but so you mentioned just before the break, though, what about a bubble? So let's think about this one. So far this year, housing starts completed. These are some national statistics. 1,370,000 new homes started, new housing starts. Number of homes destroyed, about 100,000. So not every new home built is just a brand new net new to the to the country. A lot of these homes you're knocking one down and building up a new one. So 100,000 got knocked down. So net 1,270,000 new homes, new supply.
Okay.
Household formations in the U.S. 1.4 million. So yeah, 1.2 million and change new homes built, 1.4 million new households being formed. We're still at about 130,000 house deficit.
Right.
When we're looking at new homes. And what does that mean for a bubble? It means we still have a shortage of housing.
Right. And I think, as we've talked about many times now in this year's shows, the fear factor that came in with the interest rates is people being worried. Because that number one question, again, that I always get is like, how's the housing market? Are houses still selling? Yes, they're still selling. Mm-hmm. They're actually selling at roughly the same pace that they had been doing before the interest rates went up.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Right? So it's just, one, we have a glut of resale houses right now. And because prices have softened but not dropped, mm-hmm. right? I think you're seeing builders don't want to get caught with their shorts down like they did back in 2007, 2008.
Right.
Right. So it's a natural response for them to say, whoa, Nelly, I'm going to pull it back a little bit. Because the thing is that they've been enjoying such strong numbers for so many years. Actually doing what they're doing is going to help them maintain that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, right? They're being conservative, which is rightfully so.
Yeah.
And when the economy turns, and especially if financing becomes more restrictive mm-hmm. on the commercial side, builders are the first ones to get hit. You know, so the construction lending dries up and, you know, builders then will really struggle. I have one builder friend that, you know, he said back in 2008, he goes, man, he goes, when the market's booming, I could make so many mistakes and mm-hmm. really, really do a lousy job of running my business. But the minute that market turns, I am exposed like you can't believe.
Absolutely.
And that leaves them, you know, once a builder lives through that once, they don't want to have to live through that again. So they're being conservative right now.
Well, and let's be real. Some of those builders that are now in our marketplace also are larger builders, mm-hmm. and many of them that have their stocks exchanged, right?
Oh, for sure.
So
yeah, these are Fortune 500 companies.
Yeah, they're totally going to be watching mm-hmm. what's going on and making adjustments because they have to meet expectations.
Right.
Right.
The other thing that's happening is like I have one past client who was in contract to buy a new construction home, 1.3 million. This was back in around November, last November. A new construction, the home would not be completed until September of this year, so coming mm-hmm. up. And I'm like, let's do an extended rate lock. Let's lock in your rate. We can lock it for a mm-hmm. year. You're protected then should rates rise.
Right.
The rate at that point would have been 3.75%. And they're like, nah, that's too high. I just don't want to pay.
No.
I don't want to pay a deposit to lock in that rate. So they didn't.
I'm cringing. Okay.
And I checked back in with them 2 percentage points later, just not too long ago. I go, did you ever lock in a rate with anybody? No. No, we just backed out.
And
they lost their deposit.
That is some of what's happening nationally.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Right?
It is, yeah.
I think there's people who, well, you and I have been through this before where there's been a client who doesn't quite get that, or they're like, I want to write it. It's like gambling almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And we've had numerous discussions. I had one client that I think way back when I was asking them to work with you because of your experience, and they ended up going with somebody. I'm like, she's not experienced. She's not experienced. She's not experienced. She almost blew up their deal. And it was frustrating because they had gone from originally looking at resale homes to looking at new construction. And she didn't even understand, like at the company that she was at. I'm like, what she's quoting you is not even a product that works for new construction. Mm. Right? You know, it's like, so like you're exposing yourself to a ridiculous amount of risk by going this direction. So I'm always a little surprised. Everyone always has like these very lofty ideals when they go to buy new construction, like, oh, everything, it's just all going to be perfect. And it's just all going to work out. And it's going, it's like butterflies and ponies and stuff. And then new construction can be a nightmare.
It can.
You know, so
it's like, a whole different deal. I mean, and you have to have a great relationship with that builder. You have to there's a element of trust, but you also have to make sure that you're protected, well protected with walkthroughs and things like that.
Exactly. We even just had someone from my office send out a group text asking, hey, my clients just asked me about hiring an inspector for their 11-month review on their new construction home. Anybody know anything about this? And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, it's got to be someone who's newer, I'm assuming. But yeah, a whole bunch of us piled on. We're like, yes, very common. I hope they had an inspection when they bought the place to begin with, because that helps in the finalizing. Because we have found over and over and over in new construction where things get missed because it's still a human endeavor.
Inspection? Why would you need an inspection? It's a brand new home.
Because stuff still goes wrong.
Because maybe, oh, like the one property in Burien where they forgot to hook the toilet up to the sewer system, like that one.
Or they often forget to connect the dishwasher, or they connect it incorrectly, or you'll find a vapor barrier missing or flashing missing in areas that are exposed to water. There's a large list of things that can go wrong new construction.
There can be structural defects. Mm-hmm. There can be...
I found water under a new construction for one of our clients. Yeah. And we had to... Yeah. It's like, nope. You cannot have standing water under this house. Like, it's not okay.
This is a complex thing, you know, when you're building a home.
And when it's hidden down in a space you can't see...
That's right.
You as a homeowner are going to experience problems that will come up over time, but you won't know why.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, we've had mold in attics in new construction. I mean, people are just there. I don't know why they think just because it was built brand new. It's like, you know, this isn't like the garment off the shelf. You know, you find a flaw and they just give you a little discount or something like that, and it's fine. Like, this is what you're going to be living in. And if you start off with a major problem like that, structurally, it could end up becoming a pretty big deal down the road.
Absolutely. And there will always be punch items. So no home is perfect. I always like if you do a final inspection, bring a roll of blue tape with you, and you're looking at the paint, you're looking at the, you know, the hardware, you're looking at the cabinets. If you see an area where paint, like painting, I call it holidays, you know, those they just spray those things. So maybe they don't do it thick enough. You got spots where it's bare, you know, bare behind the sheetrock.
Yeah.
Just put a speck of tape on there. Hey, this is a holiday. Mm-hmm. You know, here's a chip in a cabinet. Here's a problem where the sink didn't line up correctly.
Yeah.
Lots of things you can
Depending on the extent, I will tell you, some builders, when they are in, you know, heyday times, will just kind of be like, certain things we're not going to do.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Oh, they will have that list, but most of them really do want to see you be happy. At the end of the day, they want you to be happy because they don't want you to like badmouth the product, obviously.
Right.
You're going to be living in the neighborhood. They probably have more houses being built. It's not like they want you running out to tell the next people coming in like, oh my God, don't buy here. You know,
exactly.
I will say that, you do also, if you're doing research online, like people look for reviews for everything. If you're doing research online, also be aware, like we just mentioned, there's Fortune 500 companies like Toll Brothers, D.R. Horton, a whole bunch of others that are out here. Lennar. In fact, that's one of the postcards you brought in was Lennar. Be at least aware of every region has its own issues. Because I have seen some online commentary about a particular company that, yes, maybe some of their product in Texas was having issues, but they also have completely different soil down there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so construction techniques vary from different parts of the country.
Right.
Because they need to be for specific regions. Like we've had, friends of mine from Coral Gables up here from Florida. And we've talked about like how they do roof design down there and how they have to do a strap on the roof because of hurricanes. Like we don't do that here.
Right.
You know, so there's slightly different things that happen in every marketplace. Mm-hmm. Right. So you have to be aware of like what you're really looking at and just ask questions, you know, obviously. But so anyway, like I just said, I mentioned that you had this thing from Lennar. So what are the things that you're seeing the most from the advertising? Because I, like you, am receiving a ton of mm-hmm. new construction notices of like either they're offering buyer bonuses now mm-hmm. Or they're pushing their preferred lenders, which is often their in-house lenders and yes. things of that nature. I guess we're going to have to get into that part in the next segment, but I'm just waving this thing like I'm fanning you here. It's yeah. a big postcard. There's a lot of content on
here.
They
spent some money on that one. we've got to take a real quick break. We're going to be right back. Open house at Team Rebo talking about new construction.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Reba Haas of Team Reba, Remax Metro East Side.
And Eric Oz is here from Home Bridge Financial Home Mortgage. And Reba, how can people reach you if they need to?
Well, if they are going to send us a quick email asking for an appointment or something like that, they can do that at our info@teamreba.com email address. If you need a private consultation, you can send it to Reba@teamreba. You can also text and or call me at 206-457-2984. And particularly if you have questions about buying new construction, because hey, if you weren't aware of it, you can be represented by a real estate agent on your new construction purchase, but you do need to make sure that if you're going to the sites that you register that you're working with an agent. Otherwise, that builder may deny compensation of your buyer agent when you put in your contract.
Good to know. Good yes. point. The other thing that happens with builders, the big builders at least, is almost every single one has their own mortgage company. And they may give you a discount, just full disclosure, they may give you a discount if you do your financing with mm-hmm. their in-house lender.
Right.
However, their in-house lender may or may not be giving you the best deal. So even if and all of them right. will require you to be pre-approved with their in-house lender, you know, before they would consider your offer. So that's a step you'll have to jump through. I think it's always still a good idea to do some comparisons, though, for a couple of reasons. One is it just to make sure that, you know, all right, is that in-house lender really giving me a mm-hmm. good deal? Sometimes right. that builder credit that you get by using the in-house lender is offset by a higher rate or fees that you're charged by that in-house lender. But the other thing is right now, especially with rates being as volatile as they are, mm-hmm. Not every in-house lender can do an extended rate lock. So
right.
if you're looking to buy a home that hasn't even been started yet, and you're going to be, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, 12 months out mm-hmm. before that home is finished, you know, where are rates going to be in that time period?
Right.
Well, that's where an extended rate lock comes in. You know, we can lock a rate out a year and, protect you from rates rising, mm-hmm. but like our extended lock, if rates fall before closing, and once we're within about 60 days of mm-hmm. completion of the home, there's a free float down. You can just get the current market rate. So I would definitely ask about that. What type of extended rate locks are available, if at all? And they'll try and sell you out. Oh well, you don't need that. Blah blah blah. But you know, it's awful good protection if you're buying such an expensive, you know, purchase, you know, to know at least what the worst case, what your payment will be.
Oh, absolutely. I am always, well, not that I'm always in agreement with you. We know that. but in that point, absolutely,
yeah,
I am.
It really
yeah.
makes a
well,
difference.
I mean, I'm constantly telling clients like, please, 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 please look at your options. Make sure you ask these questions. We have a whole list of questions that we send out to people, like, if you're talking to your lender, here's some of the things that you probably mm-hmm. want to ask.
Sure.
Right? Because they often don't know what to ask.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, that's why this show, I think, is so valuable, is because we're constantly talking about, like, things you should know, things you should ask, mm-hmm. you know, what to look for, you know, that kind of thing. So, I'm going to go back to our topic here, though. So, I will say, you're saying, you know, the... lender, you know, of choice for some of these builders. Like, I'm looking at, like, here's Toll Brothers. They're offering a special right now. And I'm curious, I'm guessing, yeah, see, that's, it's financing by Toll Brothers.
Right.
So that's in-house. Like, are, when you're talking about what you just mentioned, are you talking about, like, it's a relationship? Because I know that there are some builders that just have a relationship with certain lenders.
Some of that happens, but a lot of these big Fortune 500, Toll Brothers, Lennar, KB mm-hmm. Homes, they have their own in-house mortgage company, mm-hmm. and which they own.
Right.
And so they will many times incent you to use them. They don't require it, but if you want to get the special deal, the credit against closing costs or something like that, then you have mm-hmm. to use that in-house lender. And I'm always really straightforward when people call me. If they want to make comparisons, I'll say, well, mm-hmm. you know, here's what I can do. You need to compare that to what they can do along with their credit. And sometimes we're right there with them. Sometimes we're better. Sometimes mm-hmm. we're not. Yeah, at least right. you've done that comparison.
Well, I am actually looking at some of the small writing that's at the bottom of this
yeah.
email,
yeah.
the fine print, so to speak.
Yeah.
And it has a lot of restrictions on this special rate that they're offering. And it's, you know, minimum down payment amounts, 20%. It's got primary residence only, excludes condos, which would be interesting around here because townhouses can be considered that.
Mm-hmm.
They've got, let's see, play a loan rate lock. Okay, prior rate locks. They're also saying that funds are limited and may no longer be available without notice.
Like, right.
Like, yeah. Oh, okay.
Offer must be approved by the tooth fairy.
Yeah. Like, there's a bunch of stuff. I mean, but the teaser rate in today's rate environment, I get why they're sending it out because they're just
sure.
like, hey, they're just trying to make sure that people are coming to look at their product still.
Of course.
Because I will say, out of all of the emails that I am getting, I think Toll Brothers is the most aggressive
mm-hmm.
right now,
mm-hmm. yeah,
right?
They
also have been one of the most aggressive in taking space here.
Right.
You know, I don't know if that's just me and what I'm noticing of them or if that's can be, you know, fact checked for sure. But I mean, I look at the number of sites that they have here, and I also get emails for Oregon for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But because I'm not licensed down there. But, you know, they are just constantly, you know, telling me about new, and they're also like promoting their, hey, if you want to know about the, before we even put it out to the public, like get mm-hmm. on our list mm-hmm. and,
yeah.
you know, do the stuff. Right. I see them. I think, well, Mainview has a pretty decent footprint here.
Mm-hmm.
Lennar definitely also has a footprint. They're doing tons of townhomes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do have Lennar some single family, but they're doing mm-hmm. lots and lots of townhomes. So, I mean, yeah. they are kind of help fill a affordable gap in housing.
Why do you think it is just that the Fortune 500 companies are doing condos or townhomes? I know you know the answer.
So do you want me to answer
sure,
then? Because I do know.
Yeah.
Because they can self-insure.
Yeah, yeah. Because of Washington state laws, every mm-hmm. condominium development will be sued, you know,
yeah.
at some point for construction defects.
Yeah.
Whether they exist or not, they will be sued.
Yeah.
And only the big guys can have the deep pockets to defend against those types of lawsuits.
Yeah. Yeah. They're yeah. also some of the only ones that made it through 08, 09.
True.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, we have seen the return of small developers, and that's the other thing is like flippers have also become developers. I'm mm-hmm. super curious right now. I'd love it. Any of you listeners, if you have any thoughts on this, feel free to, you know, reach out to our social media presence or our emails. But there were a lot of people while we've been having this run up for the last 10 years who got into flipping
mm-hmm.
and then got into developing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm super curious right now because I haven't seen mm-hmm. anything that's like kind of in your face yet about it. But I'm super curious to see some of those small developers, like what's about to happen.
Mm.
Like if this higher interest rate environment goes on for a period of time,
well,
will they be able to do it? Because a lot of them their flipping and or developments need them to sell very, very quickly and not hold inventory.
I was going to say that's an interesting, that's an interesting question because many, I would say a majority of the flippers are using hard money loans to finance their operations. Hard money loan meaning it's you know, super high interest rates, 10, 11, 12%,
right.
could be higher. And so when your carrying cost is at 10 or 11% or 12%, you need to sell that home quickly to pay off that loan.
And most of them are scheduled either at a 3, 6, or 12-month time period.
Short term.
Yeah.
That's right.
They're not intended for holding long term.
No.
So, and if you're flipping that house, your lending starts at your acquisition. Right.
Yeah.
So if it's going to take you several months to complete that project, and then now it's going to take many more months potentially to sell, right? Like that's, it's going to get very interesting to see where it's going to go.
They're already, I ordered some garage doors. I'm switching out some garage doors. I ordered them in May. I still don't have them, you know, so we're a couple months in now.
Yeah.
And these supply chain delays and things are impacting builders big time, you know, because my garage doors are probably sitting on a freighter out in Elliott Bay. They're waiting to get unloaded and I'm not going to be able to move forward with that project. But what if you're flipping a house and you're waiting on certain components and you can't move the project forward until you get those components installed?
Right.
You can be months behind.
Yeah.
Already.
You can't get dishwashers, you can't get stoves, you can't get,
So the time it spends to do the renovation of a home is one factor. And then now you got an extended marketing period, you know, beyond that.
Yeah.
Oof, yeah, that can get expensive.
Yeah. I'll be curious to see what happens, especially for those people who keep promoting those as, you know, wealth builders and things of that sort, right? Because we know that there's plenty of programs out there where it's like, pay us a bunch of money to tell you how to do something, but not really tell you how to do it.
Right.
Yeah. Because you know that I've sat through many a conversation with people who've gone to a class about like flipping homes. And then I sit with them and I'm like, what do you know about construction? Oh, nothing? Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's going to get interesting.
Oh, no, I know a lot. I watch HGTV.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. I know I can remodel a kitchen for $5,000.
Mm. Not at all.
Yeah. Well, they do it on TV.
That's because they're subsidized by the sponsors.
Funny about that. Yeah.
Funny how that works. Mm. But yeah, no, I, so, all right, so, on the Lennar thing, what was the thing that was interesting to you the most about how they were promoting that?
Well, just the fact that I'm getting mailings from a builder because it wasn't more than maybe 3-4 months ago, there were stories in the press about people lining up at 5 o'clock in the morning at a builder, you know, knowing that a new plat was coming online and they wanted to have a chance at making an offer on that home. You know, so back at the same thing we were experiencing in the resale market where there's 5, 10, 20 plus people trying to bid on every home that came on the market. New construction was selling out before the foundations were even poured.
Right.
You know, because it was the same sort of situation. So we've gone from that to now we have builders that are actually advertising, which is, it's an interesting twist of events.
Oh, yeah. Well, I will tell you, Lennar, in some of those emails I got, did also have the same buyer bonus type situation being posted in their ads.
Shame.
But they also, Lennar just bought 18 acres of land in Monroe for single family.
Well, that's where our growth is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, we got more open house with Team Reba coming right back at you, so stay tuned. Welcome back to Open House. This is Eric Osnes with Homebridge Financial Home Mortgage.
And this is Reba Haas from Team Reba.
Thanks for listening in. Talking about new construction.
Oh, you sounded like you were about to sigh, like, Well, I mean, it's just, you know, you and I can talk real estate and mortgage stuff like all day long, things that are going on the market, what have you. So it's always interesting to get back into the topic of new construction. But I do want to talk about and hit again what we were talking about last week around inventory, because we do know that new construction inventory is building a little bit, mm-hmm. no pun intended, I guess I just used there. But that's not a bad thing, mm-hmm. right? It's not a bad thing. If you've considered, like, because there are some people who absolutely only want to buy new construction.
Right.
If you're a person who doesn't want to buy a house where someone may have died in it, mm-hmm. you're going to buy new construction, mm-hmm. right? If you have an inherent belief that new is better, you're going to buy new construction.
Right.
And great if you don't have all that competition like we had before, right? But in the resale market, we also have had a building of inventory. But like we talked about last week, it's not outrageously high, right? Because we were talking about some of the numbers. And yes, we were at the end of June, we were double the inventory from the year prior. But let's talk about, we just only briefly went over what the time the average time of months of inventory is. So I have the report that we were discussing last week. And in King County, and I also want to talk about kind of average prices and median prices too. But in King County, this last June, we had 1.34 months of inventory compared to the same month a year ago of 0.56. So we had roughly half a month to now 1.34 months.
Yeah, it's almost tripled.
Yeah, almost triple. Snohomish County was an even bigger shock to their system, I guess, because they were at 0.35 last year mm-hmm. in June, and they also went to 1.34, mm-hmm. right? So they added a month.
So let's talk about that. So months of inventory mm-hmm. basically means if no new homes came on the market, it yes. would take about a month and a half, 1.3 months
at the
before
pace of the
all
sales,
the homes are sold.
At the pace of the sales that are currently happening, yes.
Right. So it's a little bit of a squishy statistic.
Yes.
Because it depends on the pace of sales.
Right.
But it's a barometer. Think of it that way.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I'm constantly looking at is the market watch of what the new listings to pending sales are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it usually bears out. I mean, we can pinpoint the month in 2012 that the inventory changed.
Right.
When we went, like I was talking to my team the other day and we were discussing where our sellers' feelings are right now. Mm-hmm. Because sellers are feeling this angst.
Right.
And it's because, you know, that's the thing. When you're a seller, it's harder emotionally because you have one thing. Buyers have choice. Mm-hmm. And right now they have more choices than they used to.
Right.
And so, you know, you and I mean, go back and listen to our shows from like January and February. I was imploring people like, please, even if it's ugly right now, like
list it.
Yeah. Cause here it is 4 months later. I mean, like I've got a client that just came back that we're both working with. And I'm like, I'm so glad we sold your house last year. Cause it was weird. Mm-hmm. It was a totally weird house. I was like, you know, we, because it had like normal heights, really high heights, and then really short heights of like different floor spaces. It was totally weird, you know. But you know, so here we're talking about, you know, the inventory having changed, and so if you have someone who goes on market and they don't sell in the first week, somehow they feel like they've been punched in the face,
mm-hmm. right?
Because they're just like, "What's wrong with my baby?"
Yeah. Exactly.
Why doesn't anyone want my baby? I love my baby.
They think my baby's ugly.
Why doesn't anyone else want my baby? You know, and especially if they've been taking time and effort to prepare their baby.
Right.
Right. So people seeing this, you know, time on market go up, suddenly their emotional state goes with it.
Sure.
Right. Of this angst, kind of like, and so I was talking to my team and saying, look, we have to go back to our basics, which is, you have to do a report every week, because if we didn't have to have like a pile of offers to go over with them, mm-hmm. we now need to make sure that they understand. And no, you don't do it once a week. You do it twice a week. And then you also let them know how many people you reached out to, what the feedback was, how right. many times you've reached out to somebody. You don't just ask them for the feedback once. You ask them over and over and over and over until you're almost obnoxious about it. Because
yeah.
sadly, in this industry, because so many people can get into it so easily, there's not a lot of professional courtesy. Mm-hmm. And that professional courtesy is, if you have seen my listing, you should give us feedback. Here's one of the things about a particular company that we know is color infused. I can't begin to tell you how frustrating it is to try and get feedback responses from their teams, because the person who shows the house isn't even remotely related to the people looking to buy the house.
Right.
We just had this happen this week. I was trying to get feedback, and I had one of my team members contacting this person. They finally were like, look, I don't have direct contact with them. I just showed them. And so if you want to know, then so I got to track down who the actual agent assigned is and then go hopefully ask them. But that agent hasn't even seen the house, because when you're going for feedback requests, part of what you're looking for is what the client response is and the agent response, because they can be two very different things.
Sure.
I've seen plenty of perfectly fine houses. They just don't fit the lifestyle of my client.
Right, right.
Right?
So nothing wrong with the home. It's just whoever happened to look at it thought, well, this doesn't work for me.
Well, and here's this is something that tells you a little bit about this company, too. I said, well, don't you even ask them any questions? Like, to ask about their feedback in the moment? He said, no, not really. If you want to know, you talk to this person.
Well, that particular company that has a color in it, they have agents that show the home and then the agent that writes up the offer. And the agent that writes up the offer is sitting in an office.
Right.
And the agent that shows the home is your junior level, probably new to the industry. And their job is just to unlock the door. And
the sad part is they don't know what they're looking at most of the time.
Right.
What I have found when I provide my professional courtesy feedback to somebody is, you know, if it has something to do with the property condition, they're going to hear it.
Yeah, good.
I'll show back, you know, I'll get that phone call or an email, and I'll give very clear feedback, because we ask price, property, you know, the condition, the layout. Is it something the seller can do something about or something that they can't?
Right.
If you're going to tell me it's the layout, like one guy sent me, he's like, oh, they like this. And he just sent me an MLS number. And I'm like, okay, let me go explore. Thanks for not just telling me, but okay, I'll go look. And it was a house that was older, was going to cost more money to the client. It was a different floor plan, and it was going to be a multi-generational family. I'm like, okay, well, that floor plan just fits that family better. That's all you had to say.
Right.
Like, I get it, you know, but if it's something where I'm just like, well, we had a problem with, you know, roof condition and or we saw, you know, this issue in this room, or my client's looking for an open floor plan, but yours looks like this and the photos didn't really convey that. So it was a little more of a surprise when we got there because of the way the photo shoot was, doesn't really tell the story. Mm-hmm. Like agents, when they hear that, are like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. That's very helpful. Right. Yeah. Like we're meant to try and work together, not against each other.
Yeah. For
right.
Sure. Yeah.
So, and it's meant to always be for the better of everyone's experience through this, because that's the thing is my clients, you know, they've got perfectly fine properties.
Right.
They just need one person to love it the same way they do. And I often tell them, I'm like, it's going to be someone very similar to you.
Right.
Right. Because this house was built with a certain kind of thing in mind and a certain kind of lifestyle in mind. You know, like that condo over the sound isn't for everybody. It's not the right size. It's not the right location. It's not the right, I mean, like there's 1,000 people that I can easily think of that would not want that house just because they don't want that commute, or they worry, you know, about, you know, climate change, or, you know, whatever the thing is, you know, or they don't want to be in an HOA.
Right.
Everything's not for everybody.
Yep.
Right. But going back to this, you know, so the benefit for the buyers right now is, yeah, there's more inventory available for you. You can be a little more picky, but don't necessarily be slow, because time is still of the essence. No,
still have to be on it.
It's, for the one you want.
Again, it's not a buyer's market yet.
Not yet. So don't pretend.
Right. That's right. Well, thanks for listening in for another episode of Open House with Team Reba. See you next week.